Joanna, you're coming to Western Kentucky for the dedication of three Monarch Way stations. I'd never heard of a Monarch Way station.
Well, a way station, it actually came from the University of Kansas through monarchwatch.org, and Dr. Orly Taylor, Chip Taylor, came up with this, and it's actually a butterfly bed and breakfast. We're supplying the needs. The host plant, which is milkweed, which is the only host plant for the monarch butterfly. Botanical name is Asclepias. Then you add nectar plants to that, which will help them attract them to come into your garden. They're looking for the milkweed as well, so they pretty much know where it is and they find it. They'll come in and lay eggs on it, and they'll lay hundreds of eggs at a time, not all on the same plant. They'll move around your garden and look for different milkweed. If you're doing one of these in your home garden or community, you want at least two different varieties of milkweed. There are five or six that are native in Kentucky, so there's several to choose from. You need at least 10 milkweed plants. They don't all have to be in one area. They could be in your entire yard or farm or community, wherever you are, you can include that, because they won't just stay within a 10 by 10 area. The monarchs won't. They'll fly around looking for it. Once you get that started, you're pretty much on your way to having a monarch way station.
Now, I understand you've actually seen a monarch migration.
Yes, I have. I was out in my garden on a very warm summer day, late morning, and I've been out in the garden a long time. I have a little game I play with myself so that I don't have a heart attack out in the garden. I try to stop if I hear a hawk and just stop gardening and straighten up and look up and try to find a hawk. This particular day, I could hear the hawk, and I looked up and couldn't see it, but I could still hear it. I knew this hawk was over the garden somewhere, way up. And when I finally spotted the hawk, I saw what I thought was a feather floating down. I kept watching it, thinking I'm going to watch where this lands, but it never came any further down. And as I continued to focus on that area, really focus on that area, I noticed that there were hundreds of monarch butterflies up where this hawk was.
Wow.
And that was absolutely amazing, because that's what they do. They get up there in the thermals, so they don't have to flap as much. They're floating a little bit more. They don't have to work quite as hard. And when they're making that migration, that sometimes 3,000 miles of migration, they need those thermals to help them travel. And they gather, hundreds and thousands of them will gather at a time for this migration. So it's not just one or two here and there, there'll be hundreds of them.
During your tenure as a president of the Kentucky Garden Club, you made quite an effort to assist these monarchs, and your efforts paid off.
Yes, they did. Each president picks a project or two, and then we work on that and hope that it takes off. And we have a lot of garden club members across the state that will want to be part of that. And we give awards for it, and recognition is given. And I chose Monarch Way Stations as my main project. At that time, spring of 2013, there were only 36 certified through Monarch Watch Monarch Way Stations in the state of Kentucky. We thought, you know, let's just try for maybe 50. Wouldn't that be nice if we could do 50 in 2 years, get the number up to 50? So now, as of June of this year, we're now up to over 250 certified Monarch Way Stations. With Garden Club members, and the Garden Club of Kentucky partnered with a native plant organization called Wild Ones. They have one chapter in Kentucky that's in Lexington. So we partnered with them, and that gave us more of a voice and more people to interact with. And then we started going to schools and libraries and extension offices. We've talked to Rotary clubs and book clubs and pretty much anyone that will sit still long enough to hear our presentation. But in the meantime, I also partnered with the Kentucky Department of State Parks. Elaine Walker, the Commissioner of Parks, agreed to meet with me, as did the naturalist, state naturalist Ron Vanover. I asked if I could maybe work with five state parks out of 49. That would be one park for each one of our garden club districts. We have about 1,500 members statewide in five different districts, so I thought five would be doable. And that was very doable. We are up to 5 of those state parks have already certified their weigh stations. 10 more are working on it. At this point, I've contacted 26 state parks that are interested, and I'm still working on it. So now I've taken that goal, I've ramped it up a notch, and I'm going to try to reach all of the state parks if possible. Some are historic sites, some are resort parks. Most are very interested in planning and planting a Monarch Way Station on site.
We've got Lake Barkley State Resort Park and the John James Audubon State Park in our listening area. Yeah. They're both involved. Why should we protect and serve the monarchs?
Well, I like to say that the monarch is the canary in the coal mine. Back in the days of coal mining, if they would take a canary literally in a cage and put it in the coal mine. If the canary did not make it or became sick, they knew something was dangerous levels of possibly gas or something, and the miners would not go in. The monarch represents our environment, and the plight of the monarch where they are declining is telling us something's not right in our environment, something's not here that they depended on. What could that be? When Chip Taylor at the University of Kansas started looking into that, it was lack of habitat. When you look at a USDA map of the United States of America, you'll see the middle of the country and a huge swath of land is called the Corn Belt. And the Corn Belt actually used to be called the Prairie. Now we have less than 2% of the prairie left. That's where that milkweed was growing. It is a native. It grows very easily. With farming practices, which we can't change, and with development, which we can't change, we're losing 6,000 acres a day of farmland. So if you start adding all of that up, we're losing so much land. And when you replace native habitat with crops, some of those crops are engineered to be Roundup ready. You can have that particular crop growing and you can spray everything around it, which will kill everything around it, just not that crop. So we have pretty much eliminated most of their native habitat. What we can do as gardeners in your own yard, just you yourself, you could actually have window boxes or planters or pots out in your yard. Each person can actually establish an area where monarchs can come back to the milkweed. And they can come back and have nectar plants, which the nectar is what they're feeding on that. And then they're laying their eggs on the milkweed. And then that particular generation of butterfly will die. It's just laid the eggs. The next generation will hatch out and caterpillars. And then those caterpillars actually eat those milkweed leaves. And then that will turn into a chrysalis. And then that will turn into the butterfly that will be the next generation to repeat the same process. We as gardeners can help, and it's helping us be aware of what we're doing to the environment. We need to be more aware of just going to a big box store and buying a chemical and coming home and spraying something that's eating on your leaves, because it might be something that we need on the leaves and not just a blanket spray that kills everything.
Joanna, you are a font of knowledge, and I sure do appreciate it. Thank you for speaking with me.
You are so welcome.